From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Join with me now in a word of prayer, and we'll call upon the Lord for His blessing upon our service on this occasion. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow not before one who is made of stone, nor of metal, nor the figment of man's imagination. We bow before the living God, the one who sits upon the throne of heaven, the throne of creation, the throne of God and of the Lamb. We bless thee, O Lord, for thy interest in thy creation, in thy will to come and send, Lord, a Saviour, the one who would die for our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we rejoice that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are thankful for the Saviour. We rejoice in the great promise of a Saviour who has come and fulfilled the will and the work of the Father, the work of redemption. And Lord, tonight, wherever the word of God is preached, that it will bring souls to the cross and to salvation. We pray for the Reverend Porter as he comes to bring the word. Lord, anoint him. Lord, give him, Lord, liberty to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And may all who hear receive it and obey. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, our scripture reading is found in the book of Genesis and the chapter 3. Genesis 3 will commence at the verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Amen. We'll end the reading there at the verse 17. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to sing a hymn now, 286. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Brown for reading to us the scriptures. Our text for today is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Our text really is the first gospel promise of the Bible. God here is the preacher. The occasion is after man's fall into sin. In the congregation, there's Adam and Eve and Satan himself. God created Adam and Eve perfect. He put them in the Garden of Eden, and he commanded them not to eat of the forbidden fruit. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, he said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Sadly, Adam and Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation and take the forbidden fruit. They now were sinners before Almighty God and were under the sentence of death due to the guilt of their sin. In verse 19 of Genesis chapter number 3, God speaks to Adam and he says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And along with this sentence, Adam and Eve lost out in fellowship with God, for God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden. And it's against this background that God proclaims the words of verse 15 here in Genesis chapter 3, when he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And here God gives to Adam and Eve the promise of a Savior from sin. This Savior, the seed of the woman, was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of Mary in Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem literally means the house of bread, and it was from here that Christ, the bread of life, was to come forth. And as we would look at this first gospel promise, there are three important lessons I want us to note together today around God's word. First of all, we can say that this first gospel promise, it highlights the reality of Satan himself. In verse 15 here, as God addresses Satan, the serpent, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And all the pronouns here in this verse, they refer to the serpent who tempted Adam and Eve to sin. Over in Revelation chapter 12 and the verse number 9, there John speaks of Satan, the angel who rebelled against God in heaven. And he says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Therefore, the words of our text today speak to you now and prove the reality of Satan himself. And friend, understand this, that Satan is real. Yes, he is a powerful fallen angel. Yes, he is the chief cause of all sin and all rebellion against God in this world and in the scene of time. Yes, we can say today that Satan is the reason why people reject the gospel. The Apostle Paul highlights that truth in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 4 when he says, "In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And the God of this world there that Paul speaks of is Satan himself. We can say also that Satan, yes, is the chief of a great host of demons and fallen angels who are his servants. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 2, there Satan is described as the prince of the power of the air. Indeed, he and his forces, they oppose everything that is of God. Satan is called the devil, which means the destroyer, and his goal is to destroy and to attack everything that belongs to God Almighty. And my, from the scriptures, we can say also that Satan is one who constantly attacks the people of God. Revelation 12, verse 10 calls him the accuser of the brethren. Well, whenever Peter was speaking to God's people, he warned them of this very fact. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he speaks of Satan's attack upon the Christian. And he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And now we can say, yes, that Satan's constant aim, what is it? It is to lead people into sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Also, we can say further that his constant work is to bring deception and death upon people so that they perish in their sin and are lost in hell forevermore. Christ himself warns of this very work whenever he spoke to certain unbelieving Jews here on earth during his public ministry. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and the verse number 44, he says there, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Unsaved friend, realize this. It's because, yes, of Satan's control in your life that you're still unconverted and still unsaved. Indeed, his goal for your life is to lead you deeper into sin. His goal for your life is to lead you further and further away from God. Yes, his desire is to take away your very life and to bring your soul right down into hell itself. In Psalm 9, verse 17, it says there, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Yes, this first gospel promise that warns you and I of the awful reality of Satan and his schemes and plans for sinful man. But then secondly, as we look further at our text today in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we can also say that this first gospel promise, it highlights God's wonderful love, the glorious fact of God's wonderful love. Genesis 3, verse 15, God is speaking, and he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And here God tells of one who would bruise Satan's head. And by this promise, it comes in the wake of Adam and Eve's sin and their fall into sin. Yes, God could have left them to their sin. Yes, God could have left them to Satan's devices, but he does not. Rather, in love, God intervenes. And in the sovereign intervention of God, he promises a Savior who would defeat Satan and his plans for a sinful man. And my, here we see the glorious truth that God is love. Yes, in the plan of God's redeeming love, his plan was that the Savior would be his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Yes, we can say that Christ's incarnation and coming into this world is but the fulfillment of this first gospel promise. Friend, like Adam and Eve, you and I, we do not deserve a Savior from sin and from the evil one.
Rather, we deserve eternal punishment and hell for our sins. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And my all of us are guilty of sin in thought and word and deed. The Bible declares there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, in his wonderful love, God has provided a Savior for us. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation means the appeasement of God's wrath that is against us because of our sin. The hymn writer says, oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. John 3 verse 16 declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, in our text, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. As you read these words, see here God's wonderful love for sinners, sinners like you and like me. But then in the final place, as we look again at our text here in Genesis 3, verse 15, we can say this first gospel promise that highlights the purpose of Christ's incarnation. In verse 15, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the bruising here of Satan's head in this verse tells how Christ, the seed of the woman, would defeat Satan and his plan for sinners. And this Christ was to do by his coming into this world. 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 8 says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, the Bible says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Our text speaks of Satan bruising the heel of the seed of the woman. And by that refers to Christ's atoning death upon the cross for sinners. In God's plan, he allowed the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be taken by sinful man and to be crucified to the cross. And on the cross of Calvary, he died there as the sinner's substitute. The wrath of God for sin was poured out upon him. And by the shedding of his blood, God's justice was satisfied, and he made a perfect and a complete and once for all atonement for sin. The Bible says this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And by this way, and by this sacrifice, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he provided a way of redemption from sin. He defeated Satan's schemes for sinful man. Indeed, the Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that of the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Friend, whenever you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, rest upon his sacrifice alone for salvation. God, yes, he pardons all your sins. He says, I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake. Through trusting in Christ as Savior, God gives you grace that you can know victory over Satan and sin and live for his honor and glory here on earth. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, you can know the Lord's presence dwelling in your heart day by day. He says, I will never leave thee and nor forsake thee. And by faith in Christ, the Savior, yes, you can know victory over death and hell and be sure of heaven and glory one day. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, in the verse number 47, Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." There was once a man in conversation with a young girl about the Lord Jesus. And speaking about the death of Christ, he said that Christ was a very good man, the best that ever lived, and that he died for others. The girl then asked the man, "Did he die for you?" This question touched the man's heart. He was still not saved. His conscience was awakened to his need of salvation. And the outcome was that he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Friend, the Bible says Christ died for our sins. And if you are still not saved, then come now by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying for you upon the cross. And by faith alone, ask him to save you, to cleanse away your sins by his precious blood. And the great promise of the gospel is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, may you trust him today. Thank you for listening. May God bless his word to your heart. We'll close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Father, for thy presence with us around thy word today. We thank thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of thy word. Do speak on, we pray, and bless thy word to all who hear, and to the saving of precious souls, to the blessing and the building up of every believer in Christ, every child of God, and to the glorifying of thy great name. This we pray and this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.